How we doing? Good. Yeah, see, you've got the crowd going. So good. Sometimes you say that and they're like, good, good. But you nailed it. Thank you. Hey, big welcome. If you're here for the first time or you're here to support Jared or Bobby tonight who are getting baptised, then extra special welcome to you. I know for some of you it could even be the first time you've ever been in church. And so we just want to extend that welcome out to you and just hope that you get to experience a little bit about who Jesus is through being in this place. And so it's awesome to have you here. And baptisms are like my favourite. That's the word, by the way, favourite. I get mocked for that in my house. Apparently, it's not how you say it, but it's how I say it. Time ever. Like, I love hearing testimonies, and I love seeing people take that step in their walk towards Jesus and to just stand up in front of everyone and say, that I'm all in, and it's really cool. So we're in our day one series, so I guess you could say for these two, it's another day one night tonight where they... just take that extra step and do something else. And I know God will change them and change where they're heading after they make this step tonight, which is really, really cool. So I'm going to pray and then get into the message for tonight. Well, we thank you so much that we can come and experience who you are in this place tonight with community, Lord, with people that we know, some we don't, Lord, but it doesn't make any difference because you are here and we can feel that, and we thank you so much for it. So just thank you for Bobby and Jared who are getting baptized tonight, Lord, and for the amazing journey that they've had so far to get them to this point, and that you have such an amazing future for them from this day forward. And we thank you for that too, Lord. So just come and let your spirit blow through this room tonight. Let your will be done in this place. In your name, amen. So who was here last week? Yeah. Some of you, that's going to make it a little difficult for me. But so I spoke last week, and I've got a little bit less croaky than I was last week. Still battling with a bit of the man flu, but that's all right. We'll battle on. So last week we talked about racetracks. Remember? Yeah, so the rest of you are thinking, uh-oh, here we go again. And the ones that were here are thinking, uh-oh, here we go again. But I wanted to touch on that again, just because I love it. And it's such a great example to me anyway of how life can be sometimes. So we talked about the fact that when you're preparing a speedway track in particular, we were talking about, because I've been doing that over the last little while, and we talked about how whatever you do at the start of that process will show up at the end of the race. So if you make a hole with the machinery you're using, or you put too much water in one spot, whatever you've done to that track and the preparation for that track will show up further down at the end of the race. It'll be there and it'll cause problems throughout the night of racing. And so we talked about that being like life. And sometimes, you know, we can do things, or we can make choices that aren't great. And so we end up with a bit of a bump in our track called life. And sometimes things are done to us, things that are completely out of our control, that will also create a bump or a rut in that track that we then, every lap we do, we have to get over it or around it or through it somehow. And it slows us down, or it changes how we, I guess, finish up. And sometimes it can trip us up. And that's obviously never good. But the verses that we were looking at were in Romans 8, 31 to 39. It talks about there's nothing you can do that can separate you from the love of God. So it doesn't matter what bump or rut you manage to put in your track, or somebody else puts in the track for you, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. So whatever happens in your journey of life, and as you get through life, and sometimes for some of us that are getting older, it's... you know, you start to look back and there's a lot of bumps and a lot of ruts, and you think to yourself, well, how am I going to push on? How am I going to get around this? Like, there's actually not a lot of places I can drive without hitting one. And so talking about that realization that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God, and the fact that we need to get our heads around that and actually let that sink in. You know, I touched on the fact that sometimes churches can be a little bit not excited enough for what we believe and what we know Like, that's something that there's nothing we can do that can separate us from the God that created us. Like, we should be, I said in my message last week, we should be bouncing around like Tigger, right? Because there is nothing that we've done or can do. There's nothing now or in the future that we can do that can separate us from the love of God. Like, how awesome is that? And how full of hope is that? And so we talked about all this last week, and then I wanted to touch on it again this week, because sometimes I think we get hung up on those bumps sometimes. And for some of us, we might understand that God loves us and we can push on and we can get through those bumps. But we sort of stop there sometimes and we just kind of survive and we don't thrive. We don't let those bumps become something that we can use. Now, there's some people in the room that know about sprint car racing. I can see one who's on a team of a guy who's sick in New Zealand running sprint cars right now. And so these are guys that know how to use those bumps and ruts on a track. And as we grow and as we understand that God loves us so much that there's nothing that can separate us from his love, we can learn to use those things in our life that may not have been great as something that can help us. So a good sprint car driver will find a bump coming out of a corner that will propel him down the straight. So if you hit that bump at the right place, the right time, the right amount of throttle, you can actually hit and bounce out of a corner and it'll fire you down the straight and you'll make a pass. Some of you look at me like with blank looks, thinking, why is he so excited about all of this? It's because I am. And I'm trying to, you know, share that with you. I don't know if it's sinking in or not, maybe. But at the end of the day, I've seen races won and lost by people using bumps and ruts. And we can do exactly the same thing in our own lives. And that's what I want to focus on tonight, because sometimes those bumps and ruts, as I said, we can let them stop us from getting to where God has actually called us to go. We can understand that he loves us and we can understand all those things, but we still can't get over the fact in our own heads that bump's there. And so what I want to talk to you about tonight is that if we figure out how to use those bumps and ruts for our advantage and for others' advantage, then they become something worthwhile. And everything that you've gone through in the process of that bump or rut becoming what it is can be something that is used for good rather than evil. Because the devil is the one that wants to remind you about that bump or that rut and say, you're no good, you're not good enough. You can't get past that, you can't get around that. But God is telling you that that bump is something that he can use because he can. So, one of the best ways to use your bump or your rut is to share it with others. And that's what I love about tonight. We're going to hear some testimonies. Shirley and I haven't heard them before. I don't know what is going to be said tonight. But I'm excited to hear it because I love journeying with people and hearing what they've been through, what they do, how they approach life, and how they come out the other end of it. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians, and it says this, or verses, sorry, 2 Corinthians 1, 4-5, says this, he comforts us every time we have trouble, so that when others have trouble, we can comfort them with the same comfort God gives us. We share in many sufferings of Christ in the same way much comfort comes to us through Christ. In the Message version, it says this, he comes alongside us when we go through hard times, and before you know it, he brings us alongside somebody else who is going through hard times, so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. Now, how cool is that? Now, that's using your bump or your rut to propel you down the straight. Like, if we think, man, it's been tough, And I don't pretend to know all of your stories or know what you've been through to get you to the point where you're sitting in this church here tonight, sitting in this community, listening to some guy bleat on about a speedway track. But I know that God knows what brought you to this point tonight, to be sitting here listening to this story. And I know that when you share with people what you do and what you've done and where you've been, that God does something amazing in that. Our mission here at Soul is to build a community that finds freedom, hope, and unconditional love through Jesus. And right from the get-go, one of those things is to help us to get there is a relationship. Relationship with Jesus, but relationship with each other. And when you have a relationship with people, you can talk about stuff that you wouldn't talk about with anybody, just some Joe Bloggs down the street. And you can share some of the things that you've gone through in your life that maybe will help somebody to not have to go through those things. Or maybe they're in them and it gives them some advice or some ways or some hope that there's a way through and a way out. And that's what I love about community, and that's what community is all about, right? Like, to be in a community of people, that's what you do. And so when you share those things from an honest heart, it has a profound effect on people. We have a saying here that says you can't drive a 10-ton truck of truth over a 2-ton bridge of friendship. Does that make sense? So you've got to earn the right to speak truth into somebody's life. And the only way you get that is by getting to know them and being vulnerable and sharing some of your stuff, because nobody wants to have somebody chirping in your ear about all the things you should be doing because they've had a thing that they've been through and they've been like that. And do you know those people? You can be honest, we're in church. You know, they think that they just have a right to tell you all their stuff all the time. And they haven't got to know you yet. They haven't actually asked you how you are. They just want to tell you their stuff. I'm not talking about that, because I don't believe that that's something that is helpful or inspiring or anything that comes good, really, to be honest. And some of the most profound words over my life and over Stace's life and over the life of this church have not come from a stage. They've not come from somebody standing up here with a microphone. They've come from friends who have shared their heart with us. And they, not necessarily friends who have run churches before or done a whole lot of stuff that we haven't done. They're just ordinary people. But they've had a connection with an extraordinary God. And they've met Jesus and he's changed their life from being one thing to being the complete opposite. And that's what we get to hear about tonight. Because for somebody to make a decision to get baptized, they've walked that journey. In whatever shape or form that looks like to them, they've made that choice, and it's their choice. It's not something that we say, well, if you want to come to Soul, you've got to get baptized, otherwise you're out. That's not us. It's a choice that you get to make based on your relationship with Jesus. And when you get to that point where you think, man, I'm all in, this is just a way to show to everybody, but mostly to God, that you're committed to living the way he wants you to live. And so when you understand that God loves you so much that there's nothing you can do that will separate you from his love, and you get that in your heart, and then you think about those things in your life that might have been tough or difficult, and you can figure out a way to use those for good, not a way that will drag you down and slow you down and stop you from being who God designed you to be. Life gets fun. Life gets exciting. All of a sudden, you're not so focused on your ruts. Because I don't know if you guys know, I learned this in a first aid course, I think. People have car accidents that hit, they generally hit what they see. So they stare at something, and that's where they go. Jack did it. He spun the Subaru out in the paddock the other day. And it was a couple of weeks back now, months maybe. Saw a post, now I have a broken post. because that's what he's looking at, right? So what we focus on is what we see. So if we have bumps and ruts in our track, then if we focus on them the wrong way, we focus on them in a way where we see them as bad things, they will trip us up. But if we look at them to see what we can get the best out of them, see what can propel us down the straight that's coming, it's different. We go forward. We move forward in our walk towards Jesus and our walk in life. So as I said, we've got some amazing people getting baptized tonight, which is just so cool. And some of you may not have heard of baptism before. You may not have ever been to baptisms before. So I'm just going to explain a little bit about what that is and why we do what we do here at Soul and the way we do it. So baptism is for us something that we believe God has asked us to do. And when you get to a point in your walk towards Him where you decide that's what you want to do, then we're all about it, because it's such a change in your life. And I know I've said this before for Stace and I, this place wouldn't be here as it is if it wasn't for us getting baptized, because at that point we made that decision, God just put a whole lot of stuff on our life that that changed the last 19 years. But one of the reasons that we get baptized is because obviously Jesus asks us to, tells us to, and Jesus himself, he got baptized. So in Matthew 3:13 to 17, it says this: when Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, but John tried to talk him out of it. "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you," he said. "So why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." So John agrees to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." And I believe that's going to happen here tonight for these two. Like, they're going to just get some stuff from God that they haven't managed to get before because they've made this decision, which is awesome. And then he said to the disciples, he left them with his task. He said in Matthew 28:19, he said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So that's what we're going to do tonight. So we're going to, shortly, after we've heard from Bobby and Jared, we've got a, I don't even know what brand it is. It's like a blow-up spa pool out on the deck there. So there's nothing special about the pool. There's nothing special about the water. Just good old mata-mata water. I guess that's special in its own right. Yeah, that's right, Stu. It's 38 degrees, which is pretty comfortable in there. But it's nothing to do with the pool, the water. It's what it symbolises. And so what that water symbolises when we fully submerse these two amazing people in the water, it represents the death of an old life and resurrection of a new life. And that's what they're saying. I give up my old life and I'm open to what God's got for me from now on. And so that's what we're going to do. So shortly they're going to come up, they're going to share some of their testimonies, and then we're going to head out onto the deck out there. There's a camera set up and a TV, so if you can't get out there, that's fine. And we really encourage you, if you're friends, family, or even you might not know these people, but you have a word for them or a prayer that you'd like to pray over them, then we encourage you to do that. There'll be a chance after they come up out of the water for that to happen. And so we encourage you to do that. And as I said, if you can't get out on the deck, you can still see what's going on. There'll be a microphone getting passed around because we record this for them so that they can, you know, look back in the years to come and remember what it was like the night they decided to go all in for Jesus. Yeah? Exciting, huh? Righto.